Everybody could be outstanding. The prayer, Almighty God, we who are gathered together in council pledge ourselves to work in harmony with the welfare and the development of our rural city. Guide us, we pray, in our deliberations. Help us to be fair in our judgment and wise in our actions, so that the prosperity and happiness shall be the lot of our people. Amen.
Amen.
Acknowledgement of country. I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we are meeting, the Lachi Lachi people, and pay my respects to the elders, both past and present. Thank you. Also, I'd like to welcome the press here this evening, and everybody in the gallery, and also former councillor Jill Jotton. Lovely to see you here, Jill. Thank you. Everybody's present. No apologies.
No, Mr. Mayor.
Confirmation of minutes. Ordinary council meeting held on the 26th of October 2017. Confidential council meeting held on the 26th of October. And the special council meeting held on the 1st of November. Could I have a mover? Councillor Milne, second of Councillor Clements, all in favour? Thank you. No notification of absence?
We need to go to item 6, confirmation.
Item 6. Okay, we also have a confirmation of assembly of councillors to. Thank you, councillors. A recommendation that council note the assembly of council records for the following meetings: planning forum the 23rd of October, and the finance advisory committee the 9th of November. Moved, Councillor Shirilla. Second, Councillor Clements. All in favour? Thank you.
Carried.
Okay. Notice of the absence.
Nil, Mr. Mayor.
And we'll go to the mayoral report. And you have it there, but I think it's the past mayor that that you can read the details of his extensive work during that time. Before I move that, I'd like to just shortly give my report. It's been in the media. The media's done a very, very good job of covering the significant events that have happened in our municipality in the last 3 weeks, particularly the airport, fantastic day there, and of course the Mildura riverfront. And the other issue, return to country, I think that was divine intervention that I was the mayor for that, because I believe that that was one of the best events, one of the most significant events that that I can think of during my term, as not as the mayor, but as a councillor in general. Out at Lake Mungo was absolutely extraordinary, and then to have that significant event at Nawinji Place with possibly the best lineup of artists from the Indigenous perspective anywhere in Australia, and to have Shane Howard as the musical director, and it was just absolutely brilliant. So I'd like to formally congratulate everybody that was part of that, all those committees, and of course council and council staff at the Nawinji site. It was just extraordinary, and you ought to be congratulated. So I'd like somebody to remove my report, please, and second it. Councillor Clements, Councillor Morica. All in favour? Thank you. To me, Councillor Clements, that I stumble on. Okay, Council's reports on 9.1. Can I have a minute?
I'll move that with a couple of reports.
Councillor Newell, move seconder.
Councillor Cupper. Yeah, in relation to the meeting with MasterChef, I wasn't able to get to that.
Okay. Amendment where? Where was it?
To my report. I'm in relation to Mark Jeff, the meeting with him.
Yeah, come.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor
Newell. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would firstly like to mention the Melbourne Cup Day. I went down to Ryan for the Orion Farmers Festival, but as part of that, dropped in and had a look at the Orion Lake, which is filling up. And I think as you're flying in the aeroplane now, you can actually see some water in the lake. So it's getting more and more in it, and creating a lot of excitement down at Orion. Last week I went down to a MAV planning meeting, and we got solar on the agenda for the MAV looking at advocacy for the state election, and solar solar farms in the farming zone aren't mentioned. So that's an area that they're going to look at because it's very important to our community here. There's also the opening of the Wylong Winery, Chinese winery. The first stage is about a $40 million spend. They're eventually going to spend $200 million. It's a very big operation. There'll be 60 jobs, full-time jobs in the first phase, 40 part-time jobs. Eventually, there'll be about 100 full-time jobs and 100 part-time jobs. And it's certainly turning the wine industry around. So that's great for the region, the Caradoc area. The last one was our motorsports launch in Melbourne on Tuesday night, that's right, yeah. And look, that was fantastic. We had a good roll-up, a brilliant speech from Mark Scaife, from six-time Bathurst winner. Eugenia Rocker, the chair of the of CAMS, he really, you know, pushed Mildura as a great destination for motorsport and what we've done in motorsport. So very good reaction from all of them. Also, coming out of that, I've actually spoken to a few local people who are very interested in investing, and that's something that I'll be raising on Tuesday, because there is a way to do that here and get local support. So I think we're on a winner with that, and certainly the reaction from the state government was fantastic. And it as part of our Mildura Future Ready program, and I think that, you know, all of those projects together are going to do a lot for this district, and Tuesday night certainly proved that. So that's it. Thank you.
Yes, I'd like to further endorse that, Councillor Milne, and also acknowledge that Councillors Deputy Mayor, Councillor Cupper, and Councillor Clemens was down there, as well as a fabulous team of managers here. And I must note also that Jala Pulford, the Minister, and Mark Jepp, the Upper House Representative, came out of Parliament to at least pay their respects, and I think that's worth raising. It's lovely and courteous of the Minister and the Upper House Representative. So, and a job well done, Councillor Mill.
I also have some reports.
Okay, Councillor Poole, thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So a couple of reports, but prior to that, I also attended the Orion Farmers Festival and also the Lake Tour, so I share the excitement that Councillor Milne mentioned. One of the things I'd like to report on from the councillor attendance was, in addition to our great existing jewellers in Mildura, Councillor Modica and I were invited to officially open the Michael Hill Jewellers at Mildura Central. So Sir Michael Hill's vision is that inspired design and quality craftsmanship can help each person find their own inner shine. Apparently many locals have been buying it online for years, and that's one of the reasons we now have a store here. From his first store in 79, there's 300 worldwide, and Mildura is the absolute first regional store. So it's quite exciting. And let's hope that we're a great example of regional business and a shining light for more regional stores in the future. The other quick report is with regards to the Mind Shop Excellence Program. I applaud council staff for hosting students from Mildura Senior College for a week in collaboration with Rotary Club of Mildura Deacons. As part of the program, the students analysed how council currently communicates and engages with youth in our municipality, and were asked to make recommendations on how this could be improved. Feedback from the student participants focused on the use of social media. They recommended the organisation consider not only the type of social media platforms that it uses, yet also how the content is prepared, including the use of appropriate language and imagery.
So now the council marketing and communications team are working with and providing training to other teams, particularly youth services, on how they currently engage with our young people and offer assistance on the usage of those platforms. So we now look forward to seeing the results of these strategies put into place, plus also the continued personal development of these six great students. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mill, Councillor Cummins, Councillor Poole, sorry. Councillor Cummins.
Yes, thank you. Just a quick report on the Flow Connect graduation, although I think it's just called formal now because it's not technically a graduation. But councillors would know, Flow Connect is a subset of the Redcliffs High School and is an organisation dedicated to getting kids that are somewhat troubled in many respects and in some cases disengaged and to get them back into the school system. Council works very hard with Flow Connect and has council workers there. It's a credit to council that they're involved in Flow Connect. And on this particular occasion, there were over 30 students who had effectively graduated from the Flow Connect school and were going back into Main Street School, which I think is a credit to the staff at Flow Connect, a credit to the council and a credit to those kids. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clements. Nobody else? The reports? If somebody move the reports, be accepted. Thanks. Councillor Bill, Councillor Brown, second Councillor Brown. Thank you. All in favour? Okay, we've got further reports actually, because 9.2 is Councillor Van Milne's sister city delegation to Coomatori.
I'll move that.
Thank you. Second? Councillor Cirillo, all in favour? Thank you. And well done. Great report. And I'd like to move on to 9.3. Councillor Jason Modica's sister city delegation to Coomatori report as well. And could I have a mover? Councillor Modica, Councillor Mill. All in favour? Thank you. And well done. Great report. It's always good to see positive reports coming back from a delegation to very important sister cities. Okay, response to Council's questions.
Are there nil?
Nil.
Nil responses.
Yes, questions from councillors? Councillor Bulver.
Mr. Mayor, the first question. Could we be given a general breakdown of the cost of the riverfront opening on celebration on November the 4th, including sound production? And were all preferred suppliers given the opportunity to quote?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we'll be able to provide that report.
Thank you.
Second one, Mr. Mayor. What has been done to improve the pedestrian connection for residents of Ambleside and the CBD and Mildura Riverfront? And what response was obtained from previous requests for a pathway along the rail transport corridor, given that a large section of the existing rail corridor between Etiwanda and San Mateo Avenue is unfenced?
Take that on notice. Thank you, Councillor Fulton.
Third one, Mr. Mayor, the last one. I ask again, what are we going to do to resolve the issue of Cowra Avenue? To the satisfaction of the local residents, given that the emergency services raised concerns when a fire broke out there some years ago, and the answer that I have been given was the same answer as given to the local residents in the year 2000. So the question is, when are we going to resolve this matter?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we continue to work with this resident to resolve the issues that are quite complex.
Thank you. Any other? Councillor Newell?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The first question is, when will Council have a plan and budget to restore Elstead House at the old Mildura Homestead site?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I understand it's in the Arts and Culture Strategy and it is one of the actions in there. I'm not 100% sure on the timeline, but it's certainly one of the actions that's in that strategy, so it will come out when that strategy is completed.
Thank you. When will council finish the car park above No Inch Place?
Mr. Horson.
I'm assuming you're referring to the council-owned car park?
Yeah, the second piece of land that's just bare there, between the bridge and the, well, existing car park.
I'm not aware of any current plans to do anything with that car park unless there's been a submission to the Capital Works Program for this year, so no immediate plans.
Okay, thank you. Third one is, have we got all our designated fire safety areas in place for the summer, and will this be published soon for our residents? So they're the areas that people go to should there be a fire.
I can do that one. You're okay.
Mr. Sexton, thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we do have all designated fire safety area places determined and in place. They are all available on the CFA website. And in terms of council's website, we are currently putting that list together, including some additional emergency management arrangements, and that will be done in the next few days.
Thank you. I've only got two more. Given council being a white ribbon organisation, can I ask what our stand as a council is when it comes to gaming machines, which are known to be a problem in relation to family violence and financial distress, with Mildura residents losing about $70,000 a day, and $25.25 million a year. If you work that out the week, it's about enough to feed 2,500 families a week.
Yes, Mr. Horson, thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Any new application for gaming machines does require council to typically be a referral authority for the gaming authority to increase or change or alter poker machines, and one of the requirements is to do a social impact study. So there is, I guess, controls in place for council to have a say, and each change is considered on its merits. In regard to an official policy from council, I'm not aware that council has a designated policy regarding poker machines and the impact, apart from undertaking that social impact study when and if required.
And just further to that, MAV President Mary Lalios has been outspoken in regard to women against poker machines. So are we responding in any way to that?
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Not that I'm aware, unless the CEO has got more information.
No, Mr. Mayor, we'd have to bring that back before council forum for discussion in the first place.
Can we do that?
Yes, certainly.
That's it, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, a couple of questions tonight. I would like to know where we're at with the insurance claim down at Kenny Park regarding the Merbein Football Netball Club's change rooms. Have we got the claim approved from the insurance company? And if so, how much is that?
Through us to Paramount, thanks.
Excuse me.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council is still working with the insurance company in regards to that claim. We have been in contact and working with them as recently as this week, but we're still working through that process, and I can't provide a figure at this stage.
Second question. It's in a few parts, so I'll read it all and then I'll let management tackle it. So, Mr. Mayor, the second question I have here tonight is a question regarding the Lever Jari Trust, which is chaired by a gentleman called Mr. Robert Wolfe. He's also involved in many great community groups such as the Lions Club. Now, it is my understanding that they have been engaged with council for some time now to build a new barbecue area out of the Redcliffe's pools. It is my understanding that we match their $500 contribution for some artwork down there, which is all well and fine. It is also my understanding that they are fully funding the construction of the barbecue upgrade, including the shelter. Now, 5 weeks ago, the Lever Jari Trust paid council $13,500. Since then, there has been no action taken at all, and the response from council has been that we require two quotes to construct the shelter and whatever else needs to be done out there. My questions are, how did we come up with a figure and allow them to pay us the $13,500 if we didn't have the two quotes in the first place? Secondly, basically, when can we resolve this matter? And thirdly, can we please try and clear it up immediately as it's pool season? It's pool season already, and it has been fully paid by the trust, so there is no burden on council financially.
We'll take that on notice. Thanks, Councillor Schumer.
Thank you.
Any other councillors? I have a question, and I bring to the attention of our general manager community. Due to the extremely well-received concert event of Return to Country, there has been some talk about where to go from here. Whether this event may in some shape or form be an annual event, the Return to Country team is in the process of discerning how best to discuss the possibility. To assist in facilitating whether to progress with this proposition, could I request Council's Aboriginal Advisory Committee discuss and advise Council of their outcome? Is there a
way? Yes, you can, Mr. Mayor, and we'll pass that on to the Aboriginal Action Committee, who will provide us some advice on that.
Okay, no further questions for the councillors. Can we have somebody move those questions? Councillor Cummins, second. Receive. Councillor Shirella, all in favour? Thank you. Okay, we go to 12 and, on the agenda, and it's the Notice of Motion, Design and Development Overlay 9 on Benetook Avenue. Do I have a mover?
It's been moved and seconded.
Second. Second. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's been
moved. I move it. I will want to talk to it too.
Thank you. And seconded by Councillor Milne, obviously. All in favour? Thank you. Any objections?
I'll be brief. I just want to explain a little bit about this because it is a complex problem. We want to have a look at the design and development overlay. You will recall or may not know that with the Vic Roads overlay, they've got 10 metres, but only on the city side of Benetook Avenue. It's not on the other side. The one that's in conjecture at the moment is the 25 metre council overlay, which is on both sides. Now, if you want to work it out, unfortunately, we compromised it on the other side of the, that's the Irimple side of Benetook Avenue. The actual road boundary is 6 metres forward of the vets building. In fact, the vets building is totally built on our overlay. And that has been the problem. It's also a problem with about 6 properties on this side of the street. There are 6 properties that had that have got a situation where the setback of 25 metres takes just about all their block. And so they've got this worthless land and just can't do anything with it. Originally we planned, I think the idea was to have a private road, but things have changed. And to get a private road right through there, you would have to have carriageway easements to each individual property. And that has changed things around, and that's why this motion is calling for immediate review of it. If you want to get a good idea of how far the setback is, have a look at the Power Corps building right up the other end, and you'll see all of that land in front, 25 metres, and then 10 metres for the Vic Roads use, and no one's decrying the Vic Roads use, but the 25 metres is the real problem. Now, it actually, a ministerial panel did suggest that we take that off, but a couple of years ago we decided not to take the advice of that panel, and we reinstated or maintained that 25 metre overlay. And this motion is to have a look at a review and perhaps then go back to what the panel originally suggested that we do. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded.
There's no respecting to the motion, Mr. Mayor.
So no, it's a matter of putting the motion.
Just put the motion. Yeah. Those in favour? Against?
Carried.
Carried. Thank you. Notice of motion, Nichols Point Development Contribution Plan. Do I have a mover? Seconded. Councillor Thorburn.
Are there any objections?
Any objections? Yes, thank you. Thank you, Councillor
Milne. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The reason for this is Nichols Point is an area that wants to develop. 30 years ago they had about 150 children in the school. Now we've got 450 children there, but there's barely been a house built there in that time. So it's obvious that there's a lot of people in our community wish to live in that area. There's a lot of land there that is zoned for residential of one sort or another and low density res. There's been a number of changes, but the big hold up at the moment is the fact that we haven't got a DCP for that area. The last DCP was done with, Amendment C42. That took 2 years from that amendment. This one looks like it's coming up about 3 years, and it's holding up the progress of the area. At the moment we've got three DCPs linked, Nichols Point, South Mildura and Orimimple, and given that their drainage systems aren't interconnected, there wouldn't seem to be any reason for that. And what I'm suggesting here is that we have a look at Nichols Point and get that DCP in place as quickly as we can get it. And I think we'd certainly make a lot of people happy out there. There has been a big call for housing. The residents out there, as far as I'm aware, are actually paying rates at a residential rate, and they have been doing for some time, but they can't develop their land. And to me, that's, I just think that that's wrong. If their land's owned residential, they should be able to develop it, or otherwise they shouldn't be paying those sort of rates on the land. So I would like us to support this motion and see if we can get this DCP up and finalised as a matter of urgency. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Thorburn.
Mr. Mayor, as Councillor Hulme said, this goes back to 2007 and the Nichols Point development plan was put in motion. 6 years later, in 2013, the government made a change to the minimum size of the lots and reduced it from 0.4 of a hectare to 0.2 of a hectare, which kind of compromised the development plan as it was sitting at the time, because this would mean that twice as many lots could possibly come into the development plan, so there was a need for a change. Now, then in February 2014, we looked to try and act upon it, and C89 came along, and then from when C89 actually made a number of things that Nichols Point became part of, came into neighbourhood, residential part of it, and some was replacing the previous rural zone. So 6 months later, we had a development plan gazetted, and I think 18 months has passed with that, and that took us nothing's happened. And now what I think the latest information that I've had available is that, and Councillor Mullen may confirm a little bit later on when he sums up, I believe that we're now being asked to wait another 3 months before we look at it. Councillor Mullen is right when he says that they are separate schemes. I think, and once again Councillor Mullen might correct me on this, I think the drainage of Nichols Point comes back into our wetlands area. Certainly a ripple is not Nichols Point, because you wouldn't take the water up the hill and then over the hill into where our ripple's being drained, which is into the ovals just over near the footy ground, while South Mildura, of course, is drained into Lake Hawthorne and Great Furley, all over there. So they're three separate schemes, and to link them together, I don't know how it happened, but it did happen. And really, the experiences we've had with the development scheme with Orimple have been pretty horrendous in recent times. You know, I don't know where it sits at the moment, but I don't know why the poor people of Nichols Point are being connected to a development scheme at Orimple that to me is an absolute shambles at the moment. I might say that distinctly in my mind that Nichols Point is not Orimple. There is a line between them, and we should be looking after, like Councillor Mills said, looking to do something at Nichols Point, because I've got a firm belief that there are probably more people that want to live out there at Nichols Point than they even want to live out near South Mildura, which is the other area we're trying to put together. So I believe that I support this motion that we separate the DCP process for Irimple, Nichols Point and South Mildura in points 2, 3 and 4 as listed on the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. Objectors, I think it was Councillor Cameron first.
Yes, thank you. Can I start by saying that I actually agree with Councillor Milne in respect of the development of Nichols Point. The issue that I have, and I'll speak quite plainly, is that Mildura is basically developing south in a long corridor, and as a result of that, we're going to end up with the geographical centre of Mildura somewhere around Centra, at a time when we're trying to do everything we can to build up the CBD and ensure its viability. We've got the city heart, and we've got all of those issues that come with the city heart and the mall and shops closing down and so on. So we're slowly drifting away from there as a centre, geographically at least anyway. I agree with Councillor Milne that Nichols Point is a very desirable place to live, and that that people want to develop land there, and that I've got no doubt people want to live there. It's close to town, which I think is the point, and it certainly gives more geographical context to the town expanding out in various directions. We certainly can't go west. We've gone as far west as we can. So I actually do agree with Councillor Milne, and I believe that Nichols Point should be gazetted. Should be developed. The problem that I do have with Councillor Mills' motion, however, is exactly the point that Councillor Thorburn made, and that is that these properties were amended in their zoning from 0.4 of a hectare down to 0.2, or an acre down to half an acre. And so now we've got a situation where we don't have the infrastructure to cater for that. And on speaking with some council planners, they indicated that it would cost tens of millions of dollars in infrastructure to be able to cater for these smaller lots. And quite frankly, we don't have that money at the moment to do that. And we'd be in a financial pickle if we did. So if you have a look at Councillor Milne's motion on item 4, take whatever action is required to allow immediate development of Nichols Point. Well, the word that I have a problem with is the word immediate. I certainly agree that we should take whatever action we can to expedite the development of Nichols Point. I fully agree with that, and I think we should do that. The joining up or disjoining of the DCPs is a matter for council, and a matter that I think councillors need to be better informed on. And I think we should have a planning forum or a meeting to discuss that, so that we all know exactly what all that means as far as technically speaking and the difficulties involved and how it can be done. But as far as the actual last aspect, I strongly suggest that to agree to this motion and immediately or pressure the council to immediately develop Nichols Point would cause incredible financial difficulty for the council and the ratepayers. And I suggest that you vote against this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clements. Could I have somebody to speak for the motion? Anybody else speaking for the motion? No, for the motion first. No, against the motion? Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. My understanding is that we are continuing to undertake the work required to assess the current situation in regard to DCPs in order to establish the best way forward. Any process to change elements of the DCP structures we have in place would require an amendment process. There is no shortcut. Therefore, I believe the most practical way forward is not to preempt an outcome, but to finalise the work already begun and for the officers to bring their work back to us at the February Council meeting as proposed and work with councillors on the best way forward. We all want development. I live in Nichols Point. I agree that it probably should have come a bit quicker. We're at this point now. But to take the place, but this needs to be done in an informed and reasonable way. I will not support the motion and endeavour to give the Planning Department a chance to finish the work they have begun. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Monaco. Now, repeat the call. Anybody want to speak for the motion? Against the motion? Thank you, Councillor Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to make probably the point with regard to take whatever action required to allow immediate development at Nichols Point. Well, you would have to put a DCP in place. So it's actually not encouraging anybody to break any laws or do anything wrong or shortcut the process, but actually get the process done. So that doesn't mean that you do it without a DCP and that process. It means you have to get the process in place. And I think if we go back and look at July 2013, the minister changed the planning scheme from a 0.4 down to 0.2 of a hectare in low density residential area, and we're now at near enough to 2018. The land is zoned low density residential. It's up to us as council to try and make that happen. Obviously, back to people paying, they're paying the rates on that land. We've actually got it designated. We haven't changed that. So they are paying huge rates, but they can't do anything with it. It's sitting there, costing them. And I think we've got a moral obligation to the people of the community to do whatever we can to get that done, expedite it, whatever has to be done to get some action down there at Nichols Point for the sake of the people. And it is a great place to live, and we do need another destination other than Mildura South. So I just want to see us do whatever we can to make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. You've heard the argument for and against. Those are for the recommendation. Against? That's lost. Thank you. Petitions there, Neil. Petitions, and I think that you'd like to bring something into business, Mr. CEO.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to seek a motion from council that we bring item 18.2, which is currently listed in confidential, into the open section of the council meeting.
Thank you. Have somebody move that? Councillor Milne, seconded Councillor Cirillo. All in favour? Thank you.
So we can just start, we do that one first or start on the end? It's in business. It's just a matter now if you want to do it now or at the end of 14. Okay.
Thank you, councillors. We'll deal with this matter now. That's 18.2 in your confidential finance advisory committee terms of the reference. Do I have somebody to move that motion? Councillor Shiro, second. Councillor Milne. All in favour? Thank you.
Carried. Okay. 14.1.
Thank you. Now we revert back to our management reports, and 14.1 is the Recreation Grants Program 2017-2018 August round.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to declare a conflict of interest for items 14.1, 14.2 and 14.3. All because I'm a board member of SRS, and SRS are recipients of grants at each of those points.
Thank you, Mr. Mill.
There's no submission call, though. thanks.
The recommendation is that 2, the council approved the following grant applications totaling $64,394.12 for funding through the Recreation Grants Program 2017-18, the August release of that money, as presented in the table below. Do we have a mover? Mover, Councillor Cup, second, Councillor Monica.
I've got a question.
Questions, sir.
Just a quick question. On the very first one, the Mildura Horse Complex, the purchase of seeding and $1,000 grant to them, what sort of seeding are they going to do? Is it the seeding that we've sort of designated that we'd like around various places? Mm.
Thank you, Mr. Dawson.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I think you're referring to the grandstand scheme that we established for the purchase of the smaller grandstand, smaller animals. I'm not 100% sure, but I'd very much like to think that is the case. Councillor Thorburn, I'd have to check exactly, but I can get back to you directly.
I think I asked. Anybody wants to speak against the motion? Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Thank you. We go on to 14.3. Environmental project grant program 2014. Jump on the bottom. Sticky notes not working too well. It's full. And it's bent over.
Page 53.
Thanks, Councillor Brown. Community project grant program 2017-2018 before Mr. Round, and the motion's on two. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Poole, seconded Councillor Brown. All in favour? Anybody against? All in favour? Thank you. I should look at your name tags. Don't socialise enough.
We'll swap them now.
All right, so now 14.3, is that right?
That's right. Yes.
I have a conflict.
Right. My brother is a client at the Christie Centre and it's one of the recipients.
Thank you. Thanks, that cover. Councillors, we'll deal with this. 14.3 environmental project grant program 2010. I think we had Councillor. We did all that, didn't we? Councillor Poole and Councillor Shirilla? Councillor Shirilla. Second, Councillor Clements. Anybody objecting? Four? Councillors for the motion? Thank you.
Carry.
Carry.
I'll bring the councillors back.
Thank you. Councillors Cupper and Councillor Milne, I'd like to inform you that both those issues were passed as presented. 14.4 is the 2018 Council meeting schedule at recommendation 2. I have a mover, please. Moved Councillor Brown, seconded Councillor Monica. Any objectors? For the motion, please. All in favour? Thank you.
Carry. Carry.
Carry.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Sexton, I keep on saying carry.
That's perfect.
14.5, adoption of the Council Agenda Policy CP018. If I could have a mover, thank you, on recommendation at 2. Councillor Clements, second. Councillor Cupper. Anybody against the motion? Four? Four? For the motion?
Four.
Yeah.
Four?
Yeah. That's carried. Thank you. Don't confuse me. Doesn't take
going well, Mr. Mayor.
14.6, adoption of Council Forum Policy CP063 and the recommendation at 2. Can I then move it?
I've got a question, yeah. Mr. Mayor. Could somebody explain what 4.2.2 on page 92. What does that actually all mean?
That's Mr. Sexton, isn't it?
Does it mean that we're going to make a decision in a forum that doesn't come to a council? Or?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It doesn't. The intention of that section is that should a majority of councillors make a determination that the matters are worthy, it would then escalate to the next step, being a council meeting.
So it would proceed to a council meeting? Yeah, that's
but right. Certainly not a decision as no. Such.
I just wanted that one clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I have a mover for that? Thanks. Councillor Shirley, second.
I'll second with another question.
Yeah, Councillor.
I notice at 7 point, where are we? 7.1 point, I think it now becomes 0.3. The external presentations are 30 minutes each plus 10 minutes of question time to be provided for each. Is that 40 minutes, or is that 20 minutes and 10 minutes questions? And if I can have a clarification, and on top of the clarification, I would actually like it to be put into the agenda as such, instead of having 30 minutes and no time left for questions, as most of the cases are now. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, it's to read as 30 minutes plus an extra 10 board questions.
So that's 40 minutes?
Up to, yes. Obviously, it can be extended by Brad.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have a mover and a seconder. Any objectors? On Councillor Thorburn's objector. So who moved that?
Councillor
Shiller, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As per the council report, I can't see, I don't have a problem with it. And a couple of clarifications there by my fellow Councillor Mill. I can't see any issue. It is per the report, and for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Ask my questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Objector, Councillor Thorburn, please.
Well, I note the questions that were taken of Councillor Mill. I've got a couple of concerns about this because I'm still not satisfied with the answer that he got. Because if you want a consensus at a forum meeting, whether something's presented to council or not. You have to do a count because it could be 5-4 when you get a majority. So I know I'm just a little bit worried about making any decisions at all at a forum meeting. I think the policy statement says to discuss issues of concern, importance or strategic direction for council. Now the time schedule that is presented there, I might say that we've had instances recently, I think the last forum, the question time of 10 minutes expired, and I had about 4 or 5 questions, and I didn't even get a chance to have one, Mr. Mayor. Not one question, I didn't get a chance, because you said time had expired. We had another situation recently whereby we invited one of the groups here for half an hour, and now we've got to get them back because they should have been allocated something that's not even on the schedule. I think we're going to give them 1.5 hours or something and have another meeting. The thing that I worry about is being so rigid with times. If it said that these were preferred things and didn't preclude, well, I would be far happier. But I don't know what we're trying to do. We, like the police, are we trying to set rules and regulations and have a timetable and this is what you've got to do? Is it like being at school where you set
Councillor
all the rules?
Councillor Thorburn, we've always had that.
Well, order. Yes. Well, this at the moment. And then we come down to, well, I think it could be better done. This is a policy that's going to last for 3 years. And when a policy comes up, remember, we've got an opportunity. If we don't like things about it, we can talk about it. And I think that things shouldn't be so rigid because often we don't get enough time for questions. There was one recent instance where somebody asked a very good question and we got a very good answer from the person, especially outside people, that went on for nearly 4 minutes of the 5 minutes that were allotted on that particular day. So other people didn't get a chance. I think it's important when we've got forum, and I think there's space there for two outside organisations or things to come in here and talk. They're the times where we need additional time for questions because we can't, when they leave the building, when the people that are here leave the building, we haven't really got access unless we've got to ring them up at their work or their organisation. Sure, with the staffing matters, you can send an email to the staff members, that's a different thing. But when we let the people go and there's still questions that we'd like to know, because often they might not, they'll add something in their presentation that's not in their report. You know, they'll have some additional information, value information, and I believe that we shouldn't be so rigid. The other thing that I'm just a little bit curious about is that 0.722 says that 724, I think it's about where the CEO has got, he's got an opportunity somewhere to bring matters to forum for us that didn't make the forum papers. He's got an opportunity, but under this, the councillors have it. Because we normally do it through a series of question times, and at the last minute, that gives us an opportunity on the day to bring something forward. If we don't have that, then the CEO has got an opportunity to bring other matters forward that are late.
1 minute to go, thanks, Councillor Claude.
That's all right. I'm nearly finished. But councillors haven't got it, and I just worry about it. I'm only going to be around until the end of the next term. But, we're setting things with these policies that go right into what happens in the future. And I just don't like handing additional powers over to the CEO and staff because in long term of council, I believe that's not in the best interest of those people that one day in the future will be taking our shoes and being councillors. Thanks, Mr. Beard.
Anybody like to speak against the motions? For the motion? Yes, Councillor.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just one quick comment further to Councillor Thorburn saying about 7.1.3 with the external presentation time. I don't interpret that as fully, because of the last sentence where it says or time to be determined by ELT. So I think that covers that off. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Shirley, did you want to speak? Oh, Councillor Cummins, thank you.
Yes, thank you. I believe council forum is a very important aspect of council business, and it's the opportunity for councillors to be well informed of matters prior to going to an actual council meeting where they have to vote and decide outcomes. Clearly there has to be some structure to that because otherwise it would become unwieldy and could go on for a lengthy time. The other thing to consider is that there are often outside speakers at these forums. Some of them fly up from Melbourne and other places, and of course they have to fly home. So there is some logic to some rigidity in the scheduling. So I put it to you that rigidity is necessary, although I would encourage the CEO and those that put these forums together to allow significant and appropriate time for questions and for the length of time of the presentation so that it doesn't become an issue. I agree with Councillor Thorburn. I think it's very important that councillors have the opportunity to ask questions, but I think that can be built into the structure by allowing additional time for the speakers and then using whatever time they don't use for questions. In relation to the CEO's ability to bring matters forward for forum, I think that's already in train and has been for some time, and I think that the CEO should have that authority. He is the CEO, and any councillor can go to the CEO at any time prior to a forum, can nominate an issue that he wants addressed at forum, and the CEO can then raise it. So it's an opportunity for councillors as well, not simply an opportunity for the CEO. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cummins. Anybody else want to speak against the motion? For? I'd like to speak for the motion. I just think we need, for a point of clarity, Councillor Thorburn, in 4.2.2, we are not, and I think we realise that because you pointed out, in a forum, in a decision-making process, but it does say there, indicate their agreement. The other issue with 7.1.4, it says there in regards to the 30 minutes each and plus 10 minutes, as you well know, some of those presentations don't last 30 minutes, so it's really at the Chair's discretion whether to utilise that time further on in the meeting. And I'd like to have Councillor Shirley close, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Basically what you and Councillor Clemens just covered was everything I had written in my little notes here, so I'd like to reiterate that. And so basically, to close, we do need a structure of some sort. As we said, people come in here out of their work or business days and waiting in line to present to us, so there has to be some structure or some, you know, rigid thing in place. Obviously, I do take note of some of Councillor Thorburn's comments about handing over power and et cetera. I do agree with that. I don't see this as overly doing that, so I'm still happy with how it is. And I do believe that after he's voiced his concern regarding the time frame, I do urge the Chair, which is you, Mr. Mayor, to allow that time frame to have more question time if you see it necessary. I think if we all try to work together, we can handle this slight change, no problem at all. So I'll ask you to vote for this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Shirley. Could I have motion four, please? Against? One.
Okay.
And recorded. Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. And carried.
Thank you.
Now we go to 14.7, allocation of councillor portfolios. Councillor Kaplan?
Yeah, I'd like to move that with a small amendment.
Yes, please. Have you got your microphone?
Yes, thanks. I'd like to move that with a small amendment, and the amendment would be that for the portfolio for environmental sustainability, that becomes the portfolio for environmental and farming sustainability.
Do we have a seconder? Thank you. Councillor Monica. Anybody
what,
knocking?
What is the...
It's the environmental farming sustainability instead of just environmental sustainability.
Is it environmental, comma, farming?
No, I'll clarify. It would be environment and farming sustainability.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Cupper.
I understand what the end.
So we have a seconder, we have a mover. Anybody like to speak against the motion? Councillor Thorburn. Councillor Kaplan?
Yes, thank you. I'm moving and supporting this motion on the basis that it clarifies the roles and responsibilities of each portfolio and accommodates the leadership transition that occurred at the beginning of the month. It also incorporates some welcome progress and innovation into the portfolio system with the introduction of a portfolio for gender equality attached to the existing portfolio for community development, and also a portfolio for farming sustainability, which is attached to the existing portfolio for environment. I think the overall effect of this motion would be to provide a large segment of our population with added assurance that Council is prioritising what many would argue is our community's most pressing social issue and what many in our community would regard as our most pressing economic issue. Some might say that a change in titles is unnecessary if the functions already exist, but I would argue, as would the MAV, that dedicating a portfolio to a particular cause, in this case gender equality and also farming sustainability, enables Council to maximise its advocacy strength in those areas. Accordingly, I commend this motion to the Chamber tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. We have a second. Councillor Monaghan, please.
Thank you, Mayor Eccle.
No worries.
Gender equity means fairness of treatment for women and men according to their respective needs. UNICEF says gender equality means that women and men, girls and boys, enjoy the same rights, resources, opportunities and protections. The history of protest in developing the women's movement, there was a celebration the other day. It's over 100 years ago that the suffragettes really began. Well, actually, I believe the law that was implemented at the end of World War II, where women got the right to vote, but they had to earn a certain amount of money or they had to be married to a certain person. So we've come a long way. But there's still lots of strategic things to be done. We are here to advocate for women, to give them those opportunities that were spoken about in the UNICEF statement there. Just a few of the social indicators that probably don't affect our community is, well, they do in some way, but not as much as the traditional ones at the lower socioeconomic end, is the pay gap. You know, the pay gap for surgeons in this country between men and women is 43%. The pay for financial advisors, the difference is 53%. And barristers, there's a 72% pay discrepancy between the two. And the overall pay gap is 16%. So this advocacy we're talking about is not to take away from anything else.
Mr. Mayor, point of order, this is a motion about boards. It isn't a motion about gender equality. I'm not disagreeing with what's been said, but it's just a motion about appointments to the boards.
I'll override that, Councillor Thorpe. That's Councillor Milne. I believe that the gender equality in the portfolio name raised it to another level. Continue. Thank you, Councillor Monaghan.
I'll sum up with, I found this online again today. I think people speak about it much better than I do, and it's very important that we do continue to advocate that idea of equity for everybody and realise that if there are people who aren't able to look after themselves or assist themselves, there are people who want to help and bring us to that point of equality. But gender equality is the process of being fair to women and men. To ensure fairness, strategies and measures must often be available to compensate for women's historical and social disadvantages that prevent women and men from otherwise operating on a level playing field. Equity leads to equality. Gender equality requires equal enjoyment by men and women of socially valued goods, opportunities, resources and rewards. Where gender inequality exists, it is generally women who are excluded or disadvantaged in relation to decision making and access to economic and social resources. Therefore, a critical aspect of promoting gender equality is the empowerment of women, with a focus on identifying and redressing power imbalances and giving women more autonomy to manage their own lives. Gender equality does not mean that men and women become the same, only that access to opportunities and life changes is neither dependent on nor constrained by their sex. Achieving gender equality requires women's empowerment to ensure that decision-making at private and public levels and accesses to resources are no longer weighted in men's favour. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Monica. Councillor Thorne, against?
Yes.
Councillor Thorne.
I have an amendment. I wish to put an amendment.
Okay, thank you. What's the amendment? Thank you, Councillor.
It's basically very similar, and I do like the addition of the farming sustainability. It does work in the environment very well, in the way that's worded. But my amendment is a minor paper change, but it is a change. Under the functions, to me, it's functions that are the important bit. I've deleted... I've crossed out women's affairs, I've put gender equality...
Point of order, please, Mr. Ben.
Yes, Councillor Clemens.
With respect to Councillor Brown, I don't know that you can actually move an amendment at this point.
Yes, I can.
Yes, you can move an amendment through a debate process at any time.
If
the Chair permits, and I am permitting the Councillor Brown to have a...
Well, we need to probably hear what it is first.
Yes, that's right. We need to hear what the amendment is. Thanks, Councillor Brown.
Yes, that's right.
Rather than talk about it, just...
The amendment is, as moved... earlier than the motion, with a change, remove women's affairs and replace with gender equality. And Richard, you've got the actual sheets with that.
Well, there's no women's affairs in there.
Yes, right? There is in the original. You have a look.
It's not.
No, we're debating this motion.
Sorry, you've got to refer to the actual agenda, Councillor Brown.
The functions and community and council plan are not in our notes, but the actual forum notes included women's affairs.
Which is part of the
motion.
Part of the actions. Yes. Do I have a second for that? Councillor Brown's saying that in under community wellbeing
Community development. Community development.
They should take women's affairs out.
Place with gender equality.
It's not there.
Under functions.
It might be there, but that's not what we're debating.
Yeah, that's right. I'll just go back to my first statement. It's not in the agenda. I'm sorry, Councillor Brown.
Well,
it's not in the recommendation.
It's not part of the...
Well, it was part of the forum discussion with women's affairs. Well...
I'm sorry, you're moving too far away from the actual the motion that's recommendation that's been put forward.
The motion. Well, it's the women's affairs of the issue, isn't it?
Could I have a Could I have Councillor Thorburn, you're an object deputy, to speak to?
Moving to second is spoken, isn't it?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I do want to say that with the gender equality, I do get it. I do understand it. I also understand about being inclusive and how to encourage gender equality. To me, is a little bit more, I think it's sometimes referred to as sexual equality, but gender equality also includes encouraging awareness and participation of marginalised groups. I understand it all. Respecting diversities of each individual communities and its members. I understand all that, but for the very reason I think the seconder got up and started on advocacy. I might say that advocacy is something a little bit different, and if gender equality includes advocacy in the local government, Mr. Mayor, then I've got a little few concerns, because when I look at this, the thing that as a councillor I'm concerned about is community safety, economic development and tourism, community wellbeing and services, arts and culture, recreation and sport, environmental and farming sustainability, infrastructure and transport, governance and corporate planning. But as for, if I wanted to be an advocate on other matters, including all this about gender equality, I would have got into state parliament. I would have stood for parliament. Of course, it's really not our thing, because our thing is looking after the... We have it covered already. We don't need to highlight it and have a special section where we can get people up there to advocate on matters that are not, to me, directly involved with council local government matters. I know it's included, I get it all about being inclusive, and it is in subheadings, as Councillor Brown was trying to say, that under these portfolios that you see, there are things that cover that. We have our Aboriginal community group, we have various other groups, we give money to these groups of marginalised groups and to the diversities around. We do all that now, and I really don't think our role is that of being an advocate, and that's my only complaint about this, is that I don't want to see the gender equality there. You know, it being as part of the portfolio and a platform to advocate on matters that are really not quite what we're doing. I don't mind it when it's what we're doing, but other matters, no, I'm against it, and that's why I'm on my feet speaking against it. It's only on that particular matter, and I think that probably if somebody wanted to argue gender equality, somebody, I think you've got a very hard task. I remember, Mr. Mayor, years ago when I was working as an editor of the paper, and I warned people of Mildura that if they voted a certain way, they would vote every woman out of council, and it happened. You know, the problem is that that we just saw a situation at the last election. We lost half of our women because the voters didn't vote for them. And I was sad. I'm still sad. I believe in gender equality in numbers in council. I'd like to see it. But somehow, somebody's got to convince the ratepayers of this. There were plenty of good candidates. There were lots of women good candidates.
The voters didn't vote for them.
Yeah. And I don't know how you're going to change the ratepayers' move. I'm only speaking against this because I don't want to get in a situation where I have to listen to a whole lot of advocacy about things that aren't really core business of council. I'm quite happy to sit and vote like I've already done tonight. I've voted and supported a lot of these marginalised groups and the diversities of we just gave them a whole lot of money tonight, and I happily voted with them because I get it. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. Objectors? Thank you. Speaking in favour now. Thank you, Councillor Thorburn.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I also actually share your sadness, Councillor Thorburn, in the wonderful female candidates that we did have. Speaking to this motion, we are elected by our community. Our whole of community plan directs our actions and priorities, which are then defined via portfolios. Corporate Governance Department guides the procedures and policies for us to put that community plan into action. This department was involved with adding those three words and gender equality to the community development portfolio title based on our whole of community plan. As I personally have been the community development portfolio councillor for just over a year now, I understand equality is a big part of this portfolio. Equal respect for our community members, regardless of gender, culture, nationality, religion, age or disability, valuing every person equally. Maybe the portfolio title could be community development and equality, full stop. Yet as recent as yesterday, the Municipal Association of Victoria newsletter encouraged all councils to raise awareness of violence against women and girls, educate the community about the key role that gender inequality plays in causing family violence and all forms of violence against women. And then last night, at La Trobe Uni's second Women's Leadership Forum, we heard the most recent statistics that it is expected to take another 170 years to achieve gender equality. So I think that via us including this in a portfolio title, we are promoting that another 170 years is not acceptable. I think this is a good thing.
Thank you, Councillor Poole. Any other councillor for, against? Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Look, the word gender equality, I'm not against that. I just think we're doing the wrong thing by putting it as a portfolio. Portfolios, I was on the regional council that did portfolios and we decided to put a system, no, to be complementary to council core business, as they basically are today, except by putting gender equality in there, it's good to have it part of community development, but it's a function of community development, just like you have functions of community development of community plans, you've got a function of cultural diversity, you've got a function of reconciliation, you've got a function of social inclusion, and you've got a function of community access and inclusion. Yeah. And there is women's affairs there too, believe it or not. To me, that's the proper place. I mean, I can go further. The gender equality is not the argument. It's just playing a portfolio, to me, is going the wrong way. It becomes hard. And now, for instance, So I'm going to start playing around with other portfolios. For example, economic development tourism. We put up functions such as solar farms or sunset tours as priority portfolios. We're making a mockery of it at the expense of other functions. Our environmental sustaining, becomes a bit different too. Gender equality is a function, not a portfolio. Perhaps transport could feature Benetton truck bypass as a portfolio. It's just getting off the track of the portfolios. Gender equality can be given the priority it deserves, along with other functions under community development equally. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Any councillors, final call, objectors? Four? Councillor Clements, please.
I wasn't going to speak on this issue. I was going to make up my mind based on the arguments at the time, and I've done that, and I've listened to those arguments, and I tend to agree with Councillor Brown in his assessment that it is actually a function of council as opposed to something that should be elevated to a portfolio level as a heading. But in listening to the arguments, and particularly Councillor Poole, her comments, I think it's important to elevate it to a point where it's a demonstration by the council to the community and to everyone, basically, that we regard gender equality and the elevation of the status of women as significant. And so just having it in the title, I think, in itself is a statement. And I think it's an important statement. And sure, you're going to get backlash from the community. People say, look, there's a lot more important things. What about the ICE epidemic? And what about drug rehab? And what about this and what about that? Well, we're not resolving away from any of those things. Those things are still being addressed. We're still in the middle of those things. All we're saying is, by accepting this into the heading of the portfolio, that we regard this, or we think of this, as a significant issue in all communities. And so I commend it to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clements. I would also like to speak for it. And I suppose in speaking for it, I suppose I'm speaking against everything Councillor Thorburn has raised as an objection. Because the issue is that if local government doesn't advocate, if state government doesn't advocate, if federal government doesn't advocate, it'll never be done. And the issue is that it's not just a local government issue, it's a worldwide issue. It's a crisis point, has been for a long time, and we need to do something in our municipality to show the way and show our leadership. Gender equality portfolio, about lifting the profile of councillors, would rightfully say that it is already in the action, as Councillor Brown has detailed. But it's more than that. It's more than putting it in the action. Putting it into the action is actually giving it a name, giving it a portfolio name to lift the profile of gender equality. I also attended that leadership forum last night. Councillor Poole, it was terrific. And one of the things that I noticed was the unconscious bias. I thought that was a really good issue. And with us oldies like me, you know, you pass through time and you make statements about gender that you shouldn't. And I have. I've made those statements. And I've gone to those ladies later and apologised and said, I shouldn't have used that language, that description. And I go back to, it's the social upbringing, I believe, and differs from person to person in regards to their upbringing, how rigid a family environment they had. I look around this room here and the councillors have children. And they have beautiful wives and partners, and which we respect. So the issue for me is that by raising this issue today and putting gender equality up there, do you know how many phone calls I've received from government departments around Victoria because the council, Mildura Rural City Council, showing leadership on this? I'm so proud of it. So I commend the motion. It's anybody else that's like to speak for? Councillor Shuler.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a point I wanted to make. It said that if you listen to the original motion, amendment to the motion, Councillor Cupper also highlighted our biggest economic driver, and to highlight that as well. So we've gone on to a bit of a single-minded debate here, which I'd also just like to highlight that she also wants to highlight our biggest economic driver in this district, which is farming. So but I'd like to just, you know, reiterate that as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'd like to close, Councillor Cupper.
Okay. As a council, we're already committed to addressing gender equality and family violence, and it's been said that this is not a council issue and that it's not core business. But I think our white ribbon ambassadors would disagree with that. The question for me tonight is whether we want to maximise our advocacy strength. If we vote for gender equality to be given a dedicated portfolio, in other words, with its name in the title, we're voting to maximise our advocacy strength on this issue. And if we vote against it or don't support it, whatever the intentions are, the effect is we're voting to limit our strength. You could oppose it on the basis of technical or administrative grounds by reference to process or tradition, but what you're ultimately doing is placing a limit on council's ability to make a difference. And I haven't been convinced tonight as to how any technicality could possibly justify limiting our strength to address an issue like this. This is an issue that costs more than $1 billion to our economy every year. It relegates 51% of the population to second-class status. It claimed the life of Karen Bellidge. It claimed the life of our mayor's daughter. It took the life of Luke Batty at 11 years of age just to destroy his mother's life. Tell me what technicality is more important than fighting this crisis and maximising our strength to do it. As a direct result of gender inequality, there are women who are dying. There are women who are being bashed. There are little girls who are being sexualised. And some colleagues are arguing, maybe unwittingly, to limit our advocacy strength. According to current statistics from the Australian Police and the ABS, the greatest proportion of victims of sexual violence are girls between the ages of 10 and 14. The second biggest category are young women between the ages of 15 and 24. According to White Ribbon, 1 in 3 Australian women have experienced physical or sexual violence perpetrated by someone known to them. 1 in 5 women over 18 have been stalked during their lifetime. Family violence is the principal cause of homelessness for women and their children. Indigenous women are 35 times more likely than the wider female population to be hospitalised due to family violence. And the rate of family violence is higher in rural and regional areas. I know of one woman close to me who will not be participating in tomorrow's White Ribbon Walk because she's worried about the consequences if her partner finds out. Family violence is a gendered issue. Pay inequality is a gendered issue. Social, political and economic disempowerment are gendered issues. And if you want to increase women's political participation and success, including in council elections, you raise their status and confidence through initiatives like this. Gendered family violence is exacerbated by drinking and drugs and by gambling, but it's not caused by those things. It's caused by gender inequality. And yet some of my colleagues tonight, esteemed community leaders, are arguing to limit our advocacy strength, which is unfathomable to me. If you hear these statistics, then think perhaps that my wife or my mother or my daughter hasn't been hurt or bullied or harassed or stalked or murdered, or she hasn't been humiliated because of her gender or underpaid at work. You need to hear this. It's not because the stats are fictional. It's because your family is lucky. But fundamental human rights and dignity shouldn't be a matter of luck. It should be a guarantee. And it's our job as leaders to advance the cause through brave, responsible leadership. We've never had a dedicated portfolio for gender equality. And while you are entitled to decline this historic opportunity tonight, I suggest you take a second to reflect on the consequences of that legacy. In honour of the women in our community, especially those living in the shadow of family violence who experience the worst effects of gender inequality every day, I commend this motion to the Chamber tonight, and this initiative is for them.
Thank you, Councillor Kappa. I'd like to move the motion. Those in favour? Against? Thank you. And recorded. Councillor Thorburn would like to use recorded. Councillor Brown? Thank you. It's carried. Now, let's move on to 14.8, allocation of boards and committees, as shown in the recommendation.
So you move the motion with a change.
Yeah.
Sunraysia Sustainability Network, that doesn't, has got Councillor Clemens and myself on that, that doesn't line up with the sustainability portfolio, which I believe it should. And it should be Councillor Cirillo and Councillor Modica on that. Otherwise, we're on a committee that's got nothing to do with our portfolio.
Yeah.
And if a seconder is willing,
yes.
I would also like to be included in the CEO Employment Matters Committee, make that five, given that I've worked with the CEO over the last couple of years, and I just think that's important in working with that committee. If a seconder's happy with that,
yes.
If not, I'm happy to withdraw that if it's going to create any angst.
So who is the
councillor's happy with the decision, the change? Thank you. Any councillor to talk against the motion? All in favour? The motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. With that amendment, Councillor Shirillo and Councillor Modica. Is that right?
No.
14.9, the Audit Committee Charter to review. And there's a recommendation at 2. Do I have a move?
Councillor Modica.
Second. Councillor Milne. Anybody want to speak against the motion? For the motion, please raise your hands.
Yep.
Right. Against? The motion's carried. Councillors' expenses, 14.10, the recommendation at 2, that the council note the contents of this report. Councillor Milne, Councillor Clements, second. All in favour? Thank you. Carried. And 14.11, Collignan Locality Boundary Realignment, the recommendation. Councillor Milne, seconded. Councillor Poole.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
In the map, is it the small circle is what we've got now, and then the red boundary, is that all that area, is that what we're talking about?
That's the proposed change in the large area.
Yeah. Do they want a football team as well?
I don't think that comes into it.
So you have an amendment.
Anybody objecting? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Thank you. 14.12, adoption of the Domestic Animal Management Plan 2017-2021, the recommendation of 2. Councillor Kappa moved. Councillor Clemens second. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. The use and development of a supermarket liquor licence, packaged liquor, alterations of access to road zone category 1, signage, fence and re-subdivision.
Can you second the motion, please? Yes, the motion has been handed out to councillors that the council approve the use and development of a supermarket with a licence, packaged liquor, alteration of access to road zone category 1, signage, fence and re-subdivision, subject to the following conditions, and they are numerous and they're listed on there. I would like to make one amendment to, actually it's two amendments to what's there, it's one amendment to what I handed out. There are two amendments to what you've actually received. One is in relation to the signage where, and I'll explain this during the course of my discussion, but the amendment is that the signage, reduction of elevation of both poles and signs to a total height of 9 metres. So if that could be made an amendment to what is currently there on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is that a pedestrian crossing be placed in 15th Street to allow access across 15th Street at the discretion of the council and to the satisfaction of the council and at cost to the developer. If I could have that additional amendment, please, and then I'll speak to the motion.
Can I have a second, please? Councillor. Councillor Shirley, thank you. Do I have any objectors? Yeah, Councillor Broadbone. Thanks, Councillor Clements.
Yes, thank you. It might sound a bit strange that I would move this motion for approval because obviously I'll be the primary speaker in relation to speaking against the On the Run service station. But there are a number of reasons why I've done so. A lot of the amendments are standard conditions that you would find in any amended development application, but there are a number that are specific to Aldi and they have been provided to me by the planning department as a result of discussions and obviously some concerns raised by councillors in relation to the proposed Aldi service station on this site. And I won't go through the changes the conditions that are standard, but I will go through some of the issues that have led to some of the other conditions. The first one is that this falls within the overlay of the Gateway or Boulevard area for Mildura. That is to say that this is the penultimate visual impact area as you turn into the boulevard, and the boulevard itself is quite significant, and the overlay is to protect that. The On the Run service station was going to be a two-storey building banged straight up against the footpath. It was going to be quite visually impactful in a negative sense, certainly in my view, and there was also a lot of issues around noise and compliance with noise and rubbish and so on in a 24-hour service station. So I'll explain why I'm now raising this as you might say perhaps contrary to that argument. And it's simply this, that Aldi is being built on a fairly large block. It has a large setback. It's set back well back from the actual roadway, the highway, and the conditions that we've asked for include significant landscaping over and above what Aldi originally proposed. And that includes some quite mature trees. The object of the exercise there is to make it visually pleasing, to give it a feeling of space and greenery, and something that is not inconsistent with the boulevard effect that you might otherwise expect. It is zoned commercial too, which means that the zoning is appropriate for a supermarket, so it's not in breach of that particular zoning. I suggest and I argue that we can protect the gateway approach with appropriate design, and the building itself is a single story building, or does it have a larger facade at the front. It has that large setback and it has the significant landscaping and the green space and the feeling of openness. It's not, it doesn't close everything in. It has minimal negative visual impact because of its setback, and in my view, it's possibly the best result we could achieve from that perspective in relation to that particular block. Keeping in mind that there would be development on this block in any event. This is a very valuable piece of land and it would have been developed at some stage. We have an opportunity here where we may have the developers agreeing to these conditions to give us the type of visual impact that we want. So I commend that aspect to you. The second aspect that was of concern to councillors and obviously to some members of the community based on some of the objections that we had was road safety. VicRoads have approved the design of the road safety overlay for this particular development on Deakin Avenue because that is part of VicRoads Road. But the 15th Street aspect belongs to council, and so council have the opportunity to make some changes to make sure that they're satisfied with the safety aspects there. In this particular set of conditions, there is over and above what you would have seen at council forum when you saw the turn-in lane into Aldi, there is now a requirement that that turn-in lane is moved further down 15th Street, which would then allow for more vehicles to use that the slip lane and reduce the potential conflict with the roundabout and congestion there. That would be at the expense of some car parks really, but basically if only one be there, they're going to have to sacrifice some car parks, I would suggest.
1 minute remaining there, Councillor Fans.
The other aspect is to not allow any right-hand turn from Aldi into 15th Street, so that if you come out of 15th Street, you will have to turn left. Now, that will reduce traffic congestion with people trying to get out when there's traffic on 15th Street, but that would mean that they would have to travel down to Walnut, do a U-turn around about and come back, which would increase traffic congestion. But in actual fact, once shoppers get used to that car park, they will realise the best way to access the roundabout is to come out of Deakin Avenue. And if they come out of Deakin Avenue too much, they're right on the roundabout. And they're not in 15th Street at all, so they're actually reducing the traffic congestion in 15th Street. So it's actually quite a good idea. It will be congested at first until people get that point, but once they do get it, then I'm sure everything will be fine.
Time.
I'd seek an extension.
Moved Councillor Brown, seconded Councillor Sherlock for an extension of time. All in favour? Thank you, Councillor Cummins.
Thank you. The addition of the pedestrian crossing is something that was mentioned to me by Councillor Thorburn, and I think that this is the is an excellent idea. We do need a pedestrian crossing to allow pedestrians to cross at 15th Street, particularly if there is more traffic, and I think it's appropriate that Aldi should pay for that pedestrian crossing if that is to occur. The other part of that is that the actual roadway will be elevated as you come out of or into Aldi at 15th Street. It will be elevated to footpath height, which would be the equivalent of a road calming device, and that would cause vehicles to have to slow down. The question of noise and impact on the local environment, this is not a 24-hour building. This is not like the service station that was going to run 24 hours. It's a service, a supermarket that will run, I think, probably till 9 p.m. on most nights. There's no development on the southwest side at all, and that's the side that has the compactor and it has the driveway for deliveries. There's nothing there to impact on. The rear of the building, which goes onto a fence line with some units at the back, is not used by anyone for anything. It will have screening trees between the wall and the fence, and there will be no impact other than a visual impact on those particular units. If you're concerned about the fact that we're building a supermarket with a residential area around, that would be on the opposite side of the road and to the rear, I turn your minds to Coles, which was recently built in 15th Street. That is a set of units that runs along the back of Coles and has the delivery area on that fence line. This is not the case here. I also turn your minds to Irimple IGA, which has residential areas currently being built at the back and has residential areas at the side and across the road. So we're not even asking for anything as onerous as that. There is a requirement for acoustic fencing, and the acoustic fencing will be around the relevant areas, but really most of that will only be parking anyway. And of course, the whole design has a minimal impact on local residents, with perhaps the exception of increased traffic. The signage, as discussed, Aldi's proposal was for 10 metre signage. The council officers have suggested 6 metre signage. I think that that's probably a bit over the top, in as much as that it is a commercial venture. These people do have to be seen, and it may impact on their commercial viability if you drop it down to 6 metres, particularly if we're going to put large trees around it. So I think dropping it down to 9 metres, which was the council plan's original proposal, is quite reasonable. I want to turn to the objectors. There are two main groups of objectors. The units opposite 15th Street, which are behind the car yard, which was going to be the on-the-run service station, have objected. And these are primarily elderly people, from what I understand, and they have a form letter, which they each signed, and their primary concern is increased traffic. I hope that what we've discussed in relation to traffic may be some of their concerns, but it is true that there will be increased traffic.
1 minute, thank you.
And the permanent residence of the caravan park, well, it's a development, it's a commercial development that was bought by people to develop. It will be developed at some stage. So, you know, this place has been on the market for 4 years, and I feel for them, and I'm sorry that the permanent residents would have to move, but at the end of the day, you can't stop a commercial development because people are living in a caravan park on someone else's land. It does not belong to them, and they were never going to be able to stay there forever anyway. I strenuously suggest to you that the people of Mildura, in the vast majority, want this particular shopping centre. We have a very large lower socio-economic demographic, as you know. I've circulated two documents to you. One indicates the price differences between Aldi and the other major supermarkets, and the other one is an article from the West Australia Times that indicates that when Aldi comes to an area, all of the supermarkets drop their prices. Now, we live in a lower socio-economic demographic where people are struggling. They're struggling with their gas bills, their electricity bills. This will help them because all of the supermarkets, they don't even have to shop at Aldi. All of the supermarkets will be forced to drop their prices. And there is a myriad of websites, if you look it up, that actually explain that and demonstrate that.
Time, Councillor Clemens.
Thank you.
Seconded, Councillor Schuller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think Councillor Clemens has covered that very, very well, in great detail. Fellow councillors, while listening to the applicants and objectors present at the planning forum on Monday night, my position on this started to become clearer and clearer. The recommendation from the management was to refuse the permit on the basis of three main reasons, to my understanding: signage, traffic and safety. As per the presentation from Nigel on behalf of Aldi on Monday night, it shows that Aldi has proposed a 10 metre sign where our guidelines at that time was showed that we preferred a 9 metre. Anyhow, now we learn that it's a 6 metre guideline, but the applicant has flagged that they would be very flexible on that. And I think that's a mere, very minor issue at this stage for them and for us. As for the traffic situation, I understand that there will be increased traffic, but I believe Councillor Clemens's conditions have covered that. However, it would seem to me that there will be no more pressure applied to this road as its competitor stores up the road where Big W and Coles are situated, or on the pedestrian, or as would the pedestrian crossing create that we've just constructed up on Deakin Avenue. I think that would cause more congestion to the traffic as opposed to this. To be honest, when you have two or three B doubles parked up at those red lights waiting for the red light to turn green, so just to point that out. At the presentation, we were told by Nigel that it does meet Vic Road's requirements, and that the route for the B-doubles and the loading and unloading of delivery trucks was, in my opinion, was actually very well managed. So I thought there was a very, very, very well thought out plan of how to enter, back, reverse, load and unload without creating too many turns and basically no reverses at all. Only reverse action that would need to be taken was just to reverse down the dock, and I think that, and then the exit in back onto Deakin Avenue was very, very well managed. I think that should be commended. In this proposed motion raised by my fellow councillor, it has got the subject to conditions being met. So all the reports from management that were received on the landscape and the tree planting, etc., I believe, will be dealt with to an acceptable standard of council anyway, if this motion is successful here tonight. There's been arguments raised about, you know, shortage of caravan parks and getting rid of them, and where does that leave the residents that live there permanently. Again, Monday night we were told that the occupancy rates were as low as 44% and the profitability of these caravan parks were diminishing, and the need for the caravan park is not what it was once upon a time. With now there's more self-sufficient caravans available, the need for the park is not what it once was. With that in mind, you know, what would be the difference, seeing the unviability of it, if the owner decided to pull the pin tomorrow, and whether it turned into a supermarket or not, it would still have the same effect on the residents, unfortunately. So I can't really accept that as a real objection to this, because it's not just because of the fault of the proposal that may happen. You know, it's the environment that we are entering into. One thing that I had some concerns and issues with from a councillor perspective was the matters raised by the applicant regarding the overlays and the policies used in the council's report as to what actually state law was and what were the guidelines, and in some cases one actually counteracting the other made me kind of wonder if we ourselves have a head around our own policies. For example, the zoning allows a proposal, which is law, but our structural overlay speaks against the idea of this project. So just so the public know, for those who are in favour of keeping the caravan park is only there because of existing usage rights, and that type of use would have been otherwise prohibited at that site. The way I see it is the land is zoned for this type of use, so it is in line with the state planning law, and any other minor issues can be, and I believe will be, dealt with by the conditions applied of this motion, if it is successful here tonight. From an economical point of view, the money it will inject and the jobs it will create is a no-brainer for the further development of this municipality. And the affordability for the lower socioeconomic section of this community will benefit immensely. I've heard us councillors talk a lot about being progressive and changing so many times here. And on that note, I'm going to close my debate with a saying that I hope resonates with everyone here tonight. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Shearer. Objector, thank you, Councillor Thorburn.
All right. Question before I start, Mr. Mayor, if I may. Just on 15th Street, can I just get it clarified? Did I hear that they were going to move the exit to further west?
Trying to have clarity on that. Thank you.
Yes, I believe that's one of the conditions of the that was provided by the planning department.
Well, Mr. Mayor, looking at the proposal from Aldi on this particular site, this is they've been in negotiations, Aldi, to come to Mildura for quite some time. And I'm aware that a large percentage of people in Mildura want Aldi. I think that previously they had tried to place an Aldi in the car park of Centro, and then they withdrew that application. They have been in negotiations for some time with the land adjacent to Coles, and I believe that it fell down mainly because of the B-double traffic into the site. They couldn't reach agreement, so this is their third attempt. And the landowner has offered Aldi this particular site, which is a very big site, on the basis you take it all. In the last 2 days, I have read 783 posts on Facebook from people concerning the Aldi topic, from 500 different people approximately, and having a look at, I think the majority of people want an Aldi here. About 20% of those probably agree with what I believe is that in its current form this isn't the right site for it, for various reasons. However, I think Aldi really has sold us short. The situation is, in the other two previous locations that they were looking at, the only thing they could put on it, Mr. Mayor, was a small Aldi, the same size as Berry, the same size as Swan Hill. Now they've got the opportunity to have a huge site. And all the people I notice, most of them say they go to Berry or they go to Swan Hill. There are some people that have seen Aldis and shopped in them in other places, and I saw that their post, and they already raised the thing that a smaller Aldi like we've got at the two neighbouring centres didn't give you the whole scope of Aldi or the special, do all the things that they have to do. Now, if you actually take the population of Berry and you take the population of Swan Hill and add it together, and you really haven't got to Mildura's population. Really, on this site, what Aldi should be giving us a full-size Aldi. You know, because if you look at it the long term, that's what the public are asking for. And I really thought that they would have done that because they had the opportunity, but they haven't. And really, it's one of the reasons why I oppose it, because we're getting a minor thing when we could easily have got a large thing. They could have readjusted us if they really wanted. The problem has been addressed. The other problem we've got has certainly been addressed by Councillor Cirillo, and that is for the last few years we have spent years here at Council, our planning department, working on the design and development overlay, and it came about because a couple of things happened down this end of Deakin Avenue when all of a sudden we had buildings like Office Works and the Indoor Sports Centre built right up against the footpath. And that sparked, once again, a look by the planning department as what we want Deakin Avenue to look like. We're now running in dangerous ground of setting precedent. Here we go. We stuck to our guns with the one over the road. We are now moving into a situation where if you do pass this and they do build it there, you are in extreme danger that other parts of Deakin Avenue, you will find that you may not be able to hold up your design and development overlay. I think it is a real danger. This is the site is actually the entrance to the city. It was established as a caravan park because in those days it was in the Shire of Mildura and it was in the farming zone, and it was possible to put a caravan park in the farming zone.
1 minute, thank you.
And then they put a drive-in theatre, remember, immediately behind it, aside of it. This is the area that we have the entrance to the city. And it is the caravan park that's got more environmental trees on it. At one stage it had 300 trees on it. The developers at this stage have said that there'll be about 30 to 40 trees placed in the car parking area. Around the fringe where they've got trees now, they won't be there because there'll be low landscaping works, providing our planning department can hold it in. So the other thing, I asked that question just a minute ago about the moving the exit way or the entrance way further west. Well, if you have a look at what Vic Roads approved the other entrance, they didn't approve a BW going into that entrance. What they have to do is bring the BW, because we're serviced, Aldi, like Coles and Woolworths, will be serviced from Adelaide. And that's where, and I know they don't have BW trucks, I've seen that, I know that people have pointed out, but what they don't know, that we've got knowledge of, is that Aldi are going to contract, and they'll contract the BWs to bring their stock there. Won't be all BWs, but it'll be a lot of truck moves.
Time, Councillor Thalberg. Extension. Moved, Councillor Brown, second, and Councillor Shirelli for an extension of time. Councillors in favour? Can I have your hands up? Thank you, Councillors. Keep them up there. Yes. Could you put your hands up? Thank you for extension of time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. Continue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
That's okay, Councillor Thorburn. Just remember it.
I was watching you very closely. The thing about moving into the west is a little bit, the BWs have to come up Deakin Avenue, they have to turn into 15th Street, and they have to go into that entry. If you rearrange it, then they haven't got a straight line, if you look at the map, because the straight line runs into the building. So it can't move to the west because the VWs have to come in that way, and then they swing around and they reverse back as exactly described by Councillor Cirillo. And when they depart, they go out Deakin Avenue and they go around the roundabout and head to Adelaide.
A point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
That actually may, it actually would make it perhaps even easier for the VW to pass. Being in the left swing, I drive them, so I'm kind of, yeah.
Councillor Sherrill is correct, Councillor Thorburn. Continue, Councillor Thorburn.
The other things that I want to mention about that I'm a little bit concerned is impact. And, you know, the thing about Albury will have some impact. It'll have impact on other parts of the community, other parts of the ratepayers, and it'll have impact in the local towns of Redcliffs, maybe Mervyn. It'll even impact on some of the businesses in Mildura, as long as the public realise that is going to happen. I know that we've got some figures here, and there's a suggestion that the prices will drop. Now, Councillor Clements gave us was in reference to West Australia. The way that people have been going on, they think that we've been left totally behind by not having an Aldi store. Aldi only went to West Australia on the 8th of June last year. That was their first Aldi store. That's when the prices dropped, because the prices that are set for Mildura supermarkets, Coles and Woolies now, are either from Adelaide or Melbourne, and they're already set according to Aldi competition. So they won't become our supermarket prices. Will go. Aldi will sell underneath them, because I have seen the price of packaged goods. I think it's the package that I saw was about 38 for Coles, 37 for Woolies, and about 24 or 25 for Aldi. So certainly they'll sell cheaper. And that raises the problem, because they've got a liquor outlet in it. And I heard Councillor Cupper before talk about various things about the violence, domestic violence. I might say here that probably in Mildura, domestic violence, the greatest problem with it is alcohol. And you know, we've got to just look at a situation about whether we want any more liquor outlets. I know that we don't decide, but certainly, in fact, in West Australia, Aldi are only, not all the stores have got liquor outlets, because the government wouldn't let them, because the Department of Health, the director of, and also the liquor licensing people noted that following applications, they actually only approved alcohol products in certain number of Aldi stores in certain areas, because they were worried, because Aldi certainly sells below, and I think they had only 63 different wines that they sell, where you might at some of the others you get about a choice of 1,000. They have 63, and about two dozen of those sell under $5 a bottle. You know, this with the type of people that are going to the generally shop at Aldi, and the people that I see that have been on Facebook and promoting it, that it's really, they're the type of people that really, the liquor, I would prefer that some stage on the line that we take some stand and say that, you know, do we really want an extra outlet of liquor, especially the sale of cheap liquor in this municipality?
1 minute, Councillor Thorburn.
I'm nearly finished, Mr. Mayor. It's for those reasons that I really worry. I worry about the site. There are other sites on 15th Street. Our planning has always been, since I've been on council, that side of 15th Street was a residential area. And that the commercial development is out on the eastern side of Deakin Avenue. And really, I tell you what, that particular Mildura South area, I know our priority in the council plan is the CBD is the number one area, but I tell you what, when it comes to shopping, that is where all the money is spent, out there. It is our major area. It should be on the other side of Deakin Avenue. And the other point that I want to make to you, it is going to cause a problem. Thank you very much, Councillor Clements, for putting in about that pedestrian crossing. Don't forget the all the other lights and traffic along 15th Street, the crossings, were paid for by, not by VicRoads, but by the developers of those buildings on that site. So it is not a precedent, it is a welcome addition to it. But I really think that you'll find that with traffic going along 15th Street, you remember you go from four lanes into two lanes, it's already busy, already a school, and I really feel for the people of Marsden Drive, and I feel for the residents that are going to have to find another home with the closing of the caravan park.
Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. Anybody want to speak for the motion? Thank you. Councillor Milne?
Thank you, Mr Mayor. Look, I've driven around the supermarkets over the last week and had a look at the amount of cars coming out onto the road. It's hardly a traffic jam. Most of the cars seem to be in the car park and they come out one or two at a time. I don't think that that's going to make that much difference to the roundabout. Maybe Christmas and Easter, but then Christmas and Easter, our traffic clogs up everywhere. We have it down Deakin Avenue, 8th Street is probably the worst, and 7th Street. So that's just a rush time and that's normal. Councillor Thorburn, you might get your wish for a bigger Aldi, given that they have got the whole site, and that might be an opportunity to expand. So your wish might come true eventually. Also, I think, you know, given the location there, it's on the roundabout of two highways meeting. Mildura's growing into a big city, and we've just got to realise that we are getting bigger, and taking 2.5 minutes to drive from one side of the town to the other is not always going to be a luxury that we have, but we hardly have traffic jams. We're looking at a truck bypass for Benishook Avenue, so that in theory, if VicRoads can ever get their act together to get it done, should take a lot of trucks off of that intersection, so that'll cut traffic, so that gives us a bit of leeway there. The environmental trees, they're not Australian trees that are planted in the caravan park. In fact, they were described as weeds the other night. So we actually might get some environmental trees. We might get some native trees. If you look at the intersection, you've got the Target complex on one corner. You've got Cheapest Chips on the other corner. You're going to have something similar on a third corner. You've got a very old establishment on another corner. If you go south from that intersection, I'd hardly describe that as a boulevard. In fact, it's pretty shameful if you head down to the airport. It's not nice and green, it's not inbuilt, it's not beautiful houses or old buildings all the way along Deakin Avenue. In fact, it's a huge, big, empty block, and then a couple of houses. And as far as the entry to Mildura, I don't think it's really going to impact on what anybody thinks when they drive into Mildura. It will be very nicely landscaped. It'll look new. It'll make the place look like it's going ahead. And in fact, as a council, we should be trying to create an environment that encourages business and growth. And I think that's somebody's election campaign. But anyway, it came from somewhere. Sorry about that, whoever I stole it from. But we really need to do that. And the people are asking for it, and with good reason. I'm gathering this is only a small basket that Councillor Clements gave us, because I'd love to be able to shop for that much to feed a family. But Councillor Thorburn, you said the prices that are set are set against Aldi anyway. Well, if that is really the case, then you're not going to get that many shoppers going in there, so that's not going to cause a traffic jam either, unless you're wrong, of course. But I didn't say you were wrong, I just put that question to you. And look, I sort of take exception at the type of people that might be shopping at Aldi, because that might be me. But it won't be actually, because I am loyal to my local supermarket. But there's all sorts of people shopping there. I've been to Aldi in Swan Hill. It wasn't crowded out. And I think you'll find that, look, there's people that'll shop there, there's people that'll stay with their supermarket. I'll be staying where I shop because I like the people and I like to know that my money's going in their pocket, so it's really not going to make any difference to me. I'd rather pay a little bit more and look after my friends in Redcliffe, because that's where I live. So I'm happy for it to go ahead because I think it meets a need, and with the changes that Councillor Clements has put up, I think it's excellent. And again, there's some more jobs, some more growth, and it'll make Mildura look a bit loved. There'll be another new building coming up and we'll get some rates out of it. Might get a few more, Councillor Thorburn, so that'll be good too.
Thank you, Councillor Milne. Councillors for and against, before I pass over to Councillor... Councillor Brown. Thank you.
People use... Mildura having good supermarkets, not just for Mildura people. If you go down through the supermarkets or business, not just supermarkets, all business Mildura rely very heavily on out of Mildura. I stay at Motel Mildura here regularly, and there's people from Ivanhoe, there's people from Broken Hill, there's people from Menmark come over by bus, there's people from Swan Hill. Mildura needs to grow and needs to grow well and have the services, and we must keep encouraging business. If we were to stop them coming here, it sends the wrong message, because Mildura is a growth industry and people 200 to 300 k's away do rely on Mildura, and we must continue it.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. So before passing over to Councillor Clements in closing, for or against? For us. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we have received an extensive amount of communication in support for an LD in Mildura. This is in addition to the social media that Councillor Thorburn referred to. It's actually close to 2,000 now, and I don't think they're all alcoholics, by the way. A few of the... there is a few against, so I'll just touch on those very quickly. The safety for the traffic and pedestrians. Both Vic Roads and Council have now placed extra conditions addressing this. One potential opposition was that it may decrease the neighbouring property values. We're actually proposing to alter from a caravan park, which has residents all hours, to change to shop hours only, with additional acoustic regulations in place. So if anything, it may actually increase the value, not decrease. The signage that we have mentioned and that LD will agree to comply with the regulations, I actually personally think this will be an improvement to the current crossroads signage that is on our key gateway entrance. I share the concern, unfortunately there will be a few permanent residents at the park that this will affect, and hope that they successfully relocate without too much distress. So for the fours, yes, this will boost our local economy via jobs throughout the construction process, but also ongoing. Yes, there will be lower prices for products to reduce our living expenses, diversifying our economy and enhancing community wellbeing. You look at Bendigo and Ballarat, they have 4 LD stores each, including on major corners with extensive amounts of traffic. I actually remember when Swan Hill replaced their attractions with an LD 10 years ago as well. Yet Sunraysia does not have one store yet. As Councillor Brown started to talk about as well, so there's many Mildura, Baronga, Oyen, Robinvale residents actually drive to Berry or Swan Hill to shop at LD. This is money leaving our district. No doubt other shopping occurs while they're there as well that would have been done in Mildura if we have an LD. Now, Councillor Cirillo mentioned, and I think Councillor Clements did as well, just quickly on the run, which was totally different, which did not satisfy the guidelines as well as the zoning. I believe this one does. Referring to the agenda, page 198, the Deakin Avenue Urban Design Guidelines from 2016. This is a key opportunity site for potential development, and we are respecting the important role of this intersection as a key gateway. LD does suit the zoning of this site, which is commercial too. Page 206 refers to the state planning policy framework, which allows for provision of additional supermarket to meet this criteria through providing choice, investment and job creation. Also through the sustainable communities, it is achieved through growth of Mildura and serving our wider catchment area, encouraging development to meet the needs of community, including retail. Also, with this submission, the other authorities, such as the CFA, Vic Roads, Lower Murray Water and Power Corps, are all satisfied with this proposed development also. This proposal will be great for our community.
Thank you, Councillor Poole. Any councillors want to speak for or against? Before I pass over to Councillor Clemens, I just want to congratulate the councillors for and against on the debate of a very important social issue that has taken this community's attention. And I think we have seen tonight, and I'm grateful that we've seen democracy at work, regardless of the outcome. So could you please close, Councillor Clemens?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and congratulations on Councillor Cirillo for being a VW driver, or whether you had that skill. And I do take issue with the type of people that will go to Aldi, who apparently may have a proclivity for alcoholism, but I certainly don't think that's the case. As far as Councillor Thorburn's issue in relation to a bigger alley, I actually was thinking exactly along the lines of what Councillor Milne said, in as much as that there's quite a bit of land left over that Aldi will own, and what they choose to do with that is their choice. But if at some stage they choose to build a bigger Aldi, they may well do so. In relation to there being an extreme danger of precedent here, I just turn your minds to KFC along that boulevard, frontage, APCO and McDonald's. So there's already some damage done to that boulevard frontage, but I would suggest to you that this is less damage than that, because there is a huge setback and there will be a significant amount of landscaping. So it will actually be attractive. The downside is obviously the objectors will struggle with some traffic issues. Some people will be displaced, which I am truly sorry for, but this is a commercial venture and it's not their land. They would have been displaced at some stage anyway. It's going to bring people into the district for shopping. It's going to bring employment. It's going to bring everything that we could possibly want. Councillor Thorburn suggested that it won't bring down prices, and used the fact or the example that I handed out as being only relative to Western Australia. Well, if you read the bottom of that document, it says South Australia and Western Australia, and South Australia have had Aldis for quite some time, so it was actually both of those states. This site is an excellent opportunity for social and socio-economic development and assisting people of a lower socio-economic demographic. And most importantly, the community wants it. And we're representatives of the community. We represent the people out there, and the people in the majority have told us they want this supermarket. So we would be remiss to do anything else. Just in closing, I will say that some of the social media stuff that was put out there was absolutely disgraceful and insulting to the council and to councillors and council officers, town planners and so on. There was no need for that. This was always going to be debated in a democratic way, and decisions were going to be made professionally, and I think that some of those people should be ashamed of themselves. In any event, I recommend this supermarket to you. I think it's an excellent opportunity, and I think it's good for the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clements. Councillors voting for the motion with the small amendments. Against. And Councillor Thorburn and recorded. Thank you.
The motion's carried.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Thank you, I reckon that's justified, that clapping. Thank you. We go into 15, which is urgent business. Councillor Schuller, can you give me a reason why the item is urgent? Thank you.
I've got an urgent matter, Mr. Mayor, that I'd like to be resolved tonight, as it is going to cause issues to the upcoming fruit season that will start very, very soon.
We'll need the matter of business. Okay.
Just read the matter, thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to put the following motion to be admitted to general business, if that's possible. That local law number 2.7, bees, wasps, fruit flies, section D, stayed in,
for the prevention of fruit fly, each owner and occupier of land, one who leaves or allows to remain any fruit on the ground of the land, or two, does not annually prune and maintain any fruit trees on the land, is guilty of an offence, and three, must dispose of any fruit that lies on the ground of the land by sealing the fruit in a receptacle or container such as a plastic bag and placing it in the rubbish bin. Be immediately enforced, and I'd like to call a review for harsher penalties to be introduced.
Could I have a move to enter that into business?
Yes.
Councillor Brown, seconder. Councillor Clemens, all in favour? Put your hand up again, thanks. Yep, thank you. Continue.
Okay, so you'd like me to discuss it?
Yep, okay. Just briefly.
Yeah, just to give you a brief outline. So I attended the St Regis Table Grove Association's annual general meeting, where we had a brief presentation from the independent advisory committee.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
Is this a motion or what? We've ended it as an item of business, but we've had no mover for a motion, no seconder, nobody saying to speak against it, so I'm a bit lost here.
Well, I think it's probably his time to actually put the motion and debate it if there's a...
Yes, actually, yes. We will put that motion to move forward. Does anybody want to move?
That was the motion.
No,
that was the motion. That was the motion that I read.
Yeah.
I can reread it, and it's printed out here.
Can we have a copy of it?
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, could I ask if Councillor Cirillo could perhaps explain the difference between his motion and what currently exists, just to help us to motor through this?
Would you like that now, or...?
It's fair enough. Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
Explain
yes,
it now?
Yeah.
It's basically, it's in our local laws, it's in our bylaws book, April 2017, I believe. All I'm asking is to enforce it, that's it, with a review. So I'm actually, all I'm asking is to enforce the bylaw and to have a review of the penalties at the next forum.
Is that enough for explanation, councillors, for a seconder?
Yes, that's enough for me.
I'd still like to see the motion.
Right. Well, we have a seconder, that's what I'm saying, so before we debate it, we can see the motion, please.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, you haven't asked for a mover of the motion yet.
That's right, he's moved it. Councillor Cirillo has moved it.
I'm sorry, you didn't ask for it, though. You asked him to explain.
No, I asked before that for him to move it.
We've got copies. This is quite. This is one distributed by email.
Yes,
certainly.
Does this pertain to the urban area or the outer area?
Would you like me to answer that?
No. Well, it's dealing with the local laws. As somebody in the Council Management could answer that, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it pertains to the whole municipality.
So just clarifying that, Mr. Mayor, so it pertains to somebody who's got one tree in the backyard in the city?
Yes, it pertains to the whole municipality.
So, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to lay this on the table. Yeah. I think it should go to a forum because it's asking for immediately enforced and harsher penalty be introduced three times offenders. That's enough,
Councillor Milne. Do I have a seconder to lay on the table? It's Councillor Clemens, all in favour? Against? Okay, lays on the table to next meeting. Thank you, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Okay, other matters. Can I just use this time to just let everybody know, obviously, about White Ribbon Walk tomorrow. But also, I'd just like to have this opportunity on the eve of the annual White Ribbon Walk tomorrow to say how proud I am of our council staff for their ongoing commitment to White Ribbon and the push to end violence against women. And also, I can add in there now too, the decision of councillors this evening with the gender equality. This week we made another significant step in our journey to raise awareness about this massive problem,
and working to prevent it, with two of our staff announced as among Victoria's first white ribbon advocates. For those who may not have seen the stories in the press and on our website this week, our General Manager Development, Mandy Whelan, who chairs our White Ribbon Committee, and Manager Organisational Development, Kate McMillan, have been accepted as advocates. And I think Kate's here, is she? As she was earlier. Good. Advocates are a new position in White Ribbon program, and are female White Ribbon representatives charged with using their connections and professional networks to achieve the cultural change necessary to end violence against women. Along with my fellow councillors, I'd like to commend them for their ongoing commitment to this issue, which many of you know is something very close to my heart and to each of us in this room this evening. Only 20 women in Victoria have been appointed as advocates so far, and I'm very proud to be able to say Council, as an organisation, and Mildura, as a community, features with two of those 20 ladies throughout the state. So it's outstanding. And I'd like to commend you to come down to the Langtree Mall tomorrow at 12 o'clock. We'll be having a walk, White Ribbon walk, down to the riverfront and a barbecue. I just hope there's not too much rain. So, and thanks for the management staff putting that together as well. Public questions?
There are none.
There are no public questions?
Believe it or not.
Thank you. So, thank you very much.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Have a motion to move into private, to confidential. Moved, Councillor Brown, second Councillor Scott. All in favour? Thank you. Thank you. All against? No. Thank you very much, everyone, for attending today's council meeting. It's been fabulous to have you here, and for you to be able to go out and spread the word that democracy has occurred.